produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, good evening. Thank you for joining me today on Rev. Lydia Speaks on the Josie's Inspiration Network. Let me start by saying just how excited I am to be able to share with you. It's long been a prayer of mine to be able to expand my territory in helping to spread the knowledge of the living spirit. This has been something that has been on my heart, and it's something that is very close to my heart, and that's prayer itself. So let's discuss prayer. What exactly is prayer? And just how important is it? And how can you be sure if you're even doing it right? Well, most of us as children were taught the Lord's Prayer. And this was the prayer taught by Jesus in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And if it was important enough for Christ to lay down guidelines, then a conversation with God must be very important indeed. When I was a child, I very much enjoyed changing things around to make them more clear and more personal to me. So when I was alone, I would have fun doing that with songs and even with the Lord's Prayer itself. Like I would change the word "our" in "Our Father" to "my." But did you ever think about the words of the Lord's Prayer and what you were actually saying? Let's recite it as it is written before we go into the etymology of the words and what we're supposed to be thinking about. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And let's start with the word Father. If you were blessed enough to have an earthly father, and he was even a fraction of what the dictionary says a father should be, then you already know how important this study of this particular prayer is to us grasping just a very small part of how much God loves us. The dictionary says a father is a male in relation to his natural children. It also says that he is a devout elder, known to care for and protect and nurture and defend an offspring, the originator, a cherished ancestor. Now that's just the definition of a flesh and blood human man. Now let's not forget that the Lord's Prayer is talking about the sovereign creator of all, the source, the Alpha and Omega, and he loves each of his creations so much that he would and did go through great lengths just to see that we are cared for, protected, and have every chance to stay in relationship and covenant with him, even down to sending his only begotten son to die in our place. When I think of this, I can hardly get past those first two words. And remember, I changed it to my father. Just to think, my father, my father. But that only is the beginning. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus taught that the kingdom of heaven is within each of us. So let's get real excited right here, because we were created and God placed in us his Ruha, his own spirit within us. So we can honestly say that we carry around the very spirit of God, and it is holy. By whatever name you choose to the acknowledgement of your creator, you are the extension of God on this earthly plane. So we are the ones to usher in the peace of the kingdom here by doing his will here, right here. Causes a shift in thinking and in bringing about a change, because as above, so below. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, bread doesn't just mean food. After all, Jesus himself said that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So in this case, it means give us the knowledge and discernment to be able to recognize your voice when you speak to our hearts, so as to be able to repent and ask for forgiveness. At those times when our humanity overcomes us, then knowing that we're forgiven, we have to be able to extend in kind that forgiveness to someone who has offended us, or we thought has offended us, because after all, it's only in perception anyway. Lead us away from the temptations of this life and deliver us from whatever evil snare that may be trying to separate us from the purpose you have for our lives. This kingdom of believers, that's us. This kingdom of believers that God has given the power to will bring about the glory and honor that is his alone. Jesus taught this way of communicating with the Father so that the disciples would actually be able to quickly acknowledge that they were first surrounded by a unified field of awareness, in which as soon as they realize that they're in constant connection with God, our very consciousness would change from one of defeat to the awareness that this power of the Creator flows through us. We are surrounded by it, and we move in it, and we breathe in it, and we have our very existence because of it. In short, I and my Father are one. And from that elevated thought pattern, we can claim and affirm the highest and best in whatever situation there is. God's nature is to impart, and ours is to receive. But believe me, you cannot receive if you are operating from a low vibration, meaning if you don't realize what you mean to God and just how important you are to Him. This is why, you see, some people seem to manifest so quickly while others seem to struggle so hard. Now, we all know that God is no respecter of person. Each of us will receive just as much as we desire. Now, the problem is, do you think you're deserving of it? Do you think that you're worthless? Now, do you think for 1 minute that you could possibly be worthless to the Father and He still guides, leads, and protects you? He even protects you from yourself. Faith in the Father's love has the power to oppose, to neutralize, and obliterate all negative thoughts. That is why it is so important to know what we are saying to God and what He says to and about us. It stands to reason that if thought, faith, prayer, and hope are connected, then we are definitely to think of it as a truth. And if they are definitely truth, then they must be specific in order to accomplish their desire. Prayer must be specific. And I know we were all taught God knows your heart, and yes, He does. But Jesus Himself taught how to pray in the affirmative. He always prayed in the affirmative. And there is something to be said for affirmative prayer. And actually, there are actually steps. And if you think about these steps, then you know that the Lord's Prayer followed these steps. And the first step of an affirmative prayer is recognition. And that simply means that you know God is. And you acknowledge that the divine force, the divine mind, the divine law, whatever you want to call it, is flowing in, around, and through you, all things. It's omnipresent and the source of all that is. And when you think about that, you know that you and your Father are one. So after you recognize this, step two would be unification. And that step is, I am. Acknowledge that everything is interconnected and interdependent. Separation is an illusion. It's all an illusion. We are one with everything that exists. One in this oneness. We are one with God. And the third step would be realization. And that's just, if you place your desires good into the divine law, into the mind of God, into the very face of God, and you tell your Lord, this is what I desire. You just realize that the divine force is flowing through everything, including each of us, all of the time. So therefore, I accept that I am one with whatever good I am asking for. And knowing that, I know it'll all manifest in my life for the highest and good for me. Now that means that when you realize that, you can't say, but I want it this way, and I want it this color, and I want it on this date. No, it's aligning your mind with the divine mind and letting the will of God flow through you. And the quicker you learn that, the quicker it will manifest. Now, God doesn't say no. Sometimes He just says, not right now. And that's for your highest and best too. I know we can't see it sometimes, but it is. Step four is thanksgiving. And that's the grateful acceptance. And that's very important to feel gratitude. This is considered one of the most important steps because the attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving is most essential. You feel this thanksgiving deeply and you feel the beauty of the fact that what you are asking for will manifest. Know this to be true and express this knowledge through gratitude, through joy, through peace, through praising and knowing that your God is listening to you, your Father, who wants you to have everything. He made everything beautiful for us. He made us to be abundant. The only thing that can stop your blessings is you. There's absolutely nobody in this world that can stop what God has for you. What God has for you is for you. And God is not a respecter of person that your next door neighbor would have a better home, would have a better atmosphere than would you. You have to know this. When you pray, you have to know the answer to the prayer is within the prayer itself. And the fifth step is release. You just release it all into the universe. Release your words into the divine law. Physicists call it something like the unified field of first cause. But the first cause of everything is God. Before anything was God. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. Knowing that all the good you've asked for will be. You have now planted the seeds. And they have to manifest according to universal law of cause and effect. Because as you sow, so shall you reap. The divine law reflects back what you release into it. So your benediction declares it to be so. Like, amen. And so it is. And so be it. And this is the truth. The things like that that you say at the end of a prayer. Affirmative prayer is a direct, focused, and organized process using five steps to manifest your desired outcome. Affirmative prayer is an essential component of a created mindset and the first step to set the creative process in motion. And when I say creative, do you know you can ask God anything? Do you know you can talk to God about anything? I just said, my Father. You're talking to someone who wants a relationship. You're talking to a force so great that his thoughts created everything. And his desire to be with his creations caused him to breathe his life into you. Adam was a lump of clay before God breathed his breath into him. And look at all the wonderful things that he created before he created Adam. Our prayer to our Father is our conversation. Now you're asking him, in essence, all of the good that he did, all of the things that he prepared for us were in his mind. And you're asking him to bring all of that here right now on this plane in front of you for you to enjoy. But to make sure that you are humble and to make sure that you're not greedy and to make sure that you don't fall into the trap of thinking that you're better than anyone else so that you don't be judged, judge ye not. Don't think like the Sadducees and the Pharisees that they were so much better than the poor sinner that was praying next to him. There is nothing better or nothing less than. We are all equal, equally loved in the eyes of God. And when you do an affirmative prayer like the Lord's Prayer and ask for exactly what you need, that shows God that you understand. I'm going to give you some homework. I'm going to give you, sit down and write. And you write this in your own words because not everybody needs the same things at the same time. But whatever it is that you need, know that you can ask God for it. You ask him using these steps. First, recognize that God is God. You might, just whatever you call God, you might want to make up your own statements of fact. But they have to be a fact of how great God is and how you know he is there and how you know he is a part of you. And then place yourself square in the middle of that. And just know that God flows around and supports you. Then say what it is that you desire. And for all that you think about praise. Praise and worship is one of the, oh, I just love praise and worship. You can just sit and you can think about how great God is. And for me, I can scarcely keep myself still. When I think about all the things that I already have, all the things that I've already been through, whatever it is that I'm about to go through, but that God is with me and I will not be utterly cast down. There is nothing more supportive in the world than knowing that you know that you know that God has you in the palm of his hand, and knowing that you know that you know that that is exactly what he wants. When you do God's will, when you show your love, when you know that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God, nothing. I know sin separates us from God, but when you have a God that is so, so willing to forgive, you repent and you mean it with your whole heart, and God forgives. It doesn't matter. God forgives. Did you know that God called David, King David, murderer David, adulterer David, a man after his own heart? Why? Because when David did come to his senses after whatever he did, he repented wholeheartedly to God. And God, being Father, was most ready to accept his child back. A father, a lover, a brother, a friend, you cannot find anything that God is not, that is worthwhile, and that is all love. And God is love all the time. You were made and created in love, by love, because love needs relationship. Think about that. The next time you get ready to pray, the very next time you get ready to sit down for your evening prayer, I sit down at night and reflect. Did I do what I decided I wanted to do all day long? Did I let God flow through me in order to do this, or did I use my own will? Did I hurt anyone? Did I insult anyone? Did I show the grace and the mercy of God through my being? Because that's important. We can possibly be the only God that somebody knows. Not everybody wants to read the Bible. Not everybody goes to church, and not everybody lives in circumstances that are compatible with love. It's very important for me to know that I did the best I could, because first thing in the morning, I ask God to guide me all day long and not to leave me to my own devices. That's what I mean when I say God saves you from yourself, because the self has these little ego trips every now and then. I say every 30 seconds you have an ego trip, whether you know it or not. God saves you from yourself. I ask him to keep me humble. I ask him to use me as his vessel and to show kindness and beauty to others. Part of my job is to work with women who have problems with hair loss, maybe because of medication, maybe because of illnesses, but it doesn't matter. These women come and they sit in my chair, and sometimes they're at the lowest that they have ever been in their entire lives. And it's my job to let them know that they are beautiful. It is my job. And I always tell them, don't worry about your hair. You can have hair or you can be here. And God will help me create what you want to see when you look into the mirror. And I have found that some of them cry at the end of our sessions because they enjoy what they see. And the love of God on those women's faces when they light up. Because the whole time I'm doing this, I'm telling them, I'm giving them knowledge about who they are in God, and they must still be here for a reason. There is something that they have not finished. There are people that they need to touch. And we go through the affirmative prayer steps without them even knowing that that's what we're doing. God has put us all here for a purpose. And his purpose is to recreate his kingdom right here. And we need all the help we can get in doing that. Our God loves us, and He loves us so much that He made us in His image. And to that effect, we have to realize when we say things that we are representations of God. We are divine emanations, and it's not a thing that you can do that will cause God to be displeased if you just repent and say you're sorry. He understands mistakes, and He understands truth, and God knows the heart. We can speak in error, but as soon as we do, if we come to our senses like David did and apologize and then praise, you can't think about the stuff that you're going through and the stuff that you have come through without saying thank God. We shouldn't be able to, because everything in our lives should be a thank God. I give thanks for the knowledge. I give thanks for the time that I spend in this word. I give thanks for the time that I just sit in silence and let God pour into me what I need to do. And I don't always understand it. I won't tell you that I always understand it. Sometimes I've been a little like Jonah and decided I was going to swim my own way. I didn't get swallowed by a fish. But a lot of the problems that I caused were a lot bigger than a whale. And I had to come back. And to come back to center and to understand what I know about God, that God is, and I am, and I am grateful. And I just put it all on God. I don't know a lot of times what to do, but something inside of me does. That spark of God, that knowledge of God, and the more I think about it, the deeper I go, and the more I want to learn, and the more I want to learn, the more I want to praise, and the more I praise, the happier I get. And the things that I desire manifest. And not only that, things I don't even know I need manifest. And they come from the strangest resources. We know that there is only one source, but on this plane, there are resources. There are people that can help you. Just follow the laws of God and follow your heart, because your heart should be one with God. That's what God wants. A broken and contrite heart, God will not despise. There are many things in this world that could be healed if we just humble ourselves, give our problems to God, and praise our way through it. I thank you for listening to me this day. And I thank you for being in this place at this time, because it's blessed and we are blessed to be in it. I give thanks to Kayla Padgett, Finding My Way Ministries, and Josie's Inspiration Ministries for allowing me the opportunity to talk to you. And as always, I ask you to relax, release, and relate to the God of your understanding. Be blessed.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Sometimes the road of life gets lonely, and there's no Sometimes the road of life gets frightening, and I can't see the light. But then the word of God reminds me I never walk alone, 'cause He always stands behind me and shields me as His own. So I am covered and I won't walk.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and happy Thursday. This is your favorite host, Tammy Polk of the Virtuous Businesswoman Motivational Broadcast. As always, I am excited to be here with you and sharing more music from my dear friend, Amber Patterson DePaola. Please check this out. Please check this young lady out. She would definitely bless your heart and bless your spirit. I'm going to get right into what I want to talk about today. And I said this on the Virtuous Businesswoman Motivational Broadcast Facebook page that I would be talking about how to have a summer vacation for yourself as a parent, as a grandparent, married, single, whichever you may be. We all get caught up in the rigmarole of making plans for our families. We're making plans for families trips. We're making couples trips. We're making girls trips. We are getting the kids off into summer camps. But what made me want to talk about this topic today was actually a Facebook post where a friend of mine was celebrating her birthday. She has a summer birthday. And she said, I need new ideas of how to celebrate. And I want to share with you today what I told her. And I told her that for the span of time that she had, which is, I believe, from a Thursday to a Sunday, I encouraged her to do something different every day. So whether it was taking pictures or going somewhere to eat, you know, all of us are in all of these different point and rewards programs now, you know, building up, trying to save money, cash that stuff in. And go eat somewhere, even if you just earned a free order of fries. Go eat that free order of fries. If it is your birthday or your anniversary or close to it, and the food places that you frequent have birthday rewards, I wholeheartedly suggest that you get into those. Me personally, I never pay for food on my birthday. And by the time I get through collecting all of my birthday food, I can pretty much feed my whole family for about 3 days because there is so much food to eat. Another thing that I would suggest is to go to those places right there in your own city and in your own backyard that you've said you were going to visit, but you haven't. And the reason why that is important is because you want to have your own personal summer memories, and there's nothing wrong with that. While nobody frowns on the couple's trip or the family trip or the trip with the kids or where you sent the kids, you still want to have that summer vacation story for yourself. For example, I have lived in Memphis all of my life, but there are museums and attractions that I have never been to. And I will drive by them and say to myself, I'm going to go there one day. Or if I have been there and I was with somebody else or I was with a group of people, I would say, I'm going to go back every time I saw that place. But when I would have free time, it would be the furthest thing from my mind, and I would do the things that I would usually do, not keeping those places in mind, especially if I knew I had the time and the money to go. So you want to do something different every day. Treat yourself to a free meal of any type. go visit those places in your own city that you said you were going to visit and actually visit them. My next one is to take a day trip. Where can you go that's within 2 to 4 hours of where you live and you wouldn't mind driving back or even flying back, if that's possible, the same day? Where is it that you can go and have a new experience or a wanted experience, bucket list experience, and then get back home at a reasonable time? I remember when I was 15 years old, we all took the family trip to Florida. And where we were, it was more geared towards adults. So my aunt and my dad and the other adults there, they racked their brains as to what they could do. And we actually took a day cruise to Freeport, Grand Bahama Island, just so we would have something to do, something different to talk about. I still have all of the pictures from that. But that was something. It was a 6-hour ride on the cruise ship, but there was so much to do that 6 hours just seemed to pass. And then we had 4 hours or so in the shopping district. Then we got back on the boat. There were evening activities on the boat. And then we were back in Florida. So think about where you can go. Another thing that I suggested to this friend of mine was take pictures. You know, we see a lot of people, they wait for special occasions to take pictures, or, you know, business, or maybe anniversary pictures or birthday pictures, just because pictures work too. And it's funny that that came to mind, because when I took my last set of pictures that now grace the cover of my new book, Girl Go Eat a Cookie and Then Handle Business, those pictures happened because my photographer wanted me to do something different. He wanted me to have fun. And not only that, he challenged me. He says, I want zero business in this picture, and I want to see what you plan to wear. So I chose my blue denim jacket, my whitewashed blue jeans, and my t-shirt that said, I'm a sweetheart and a goofball. And he absolutely loved it. And those were the best pictures I could have ever taken. And they show my personality so much more than the business shoot that I had done just 2 months prior. So take pictures. Another thing, and this has been something that I've been doing for the last month or so, I've been participating on Instagram in a posting challenge for authors, but read. We all press upon our kids with the, you know, library summer reading program and the reading list that we get during the summer from their school. And we're trying to motivate them to read, not just to get the rewards, but to be well-read and articulate and things of that nature. But we need to be doing the same things for ourselves. So we need to read one book that teaches us something, one book that entertains us, and one book that is motivational or inspirational in some type of way. Now, why is that important? It's because you want to give yourself that range so that reading doesn't become a chore, so that it doesn't become boring. Another thing that you can do, and this will probably take the rest of my time, is simply to shut down and give yourself the grace to rest. The grace to rest is often the hardest type of grace to give yourself because it's summer and the kids are expecting to be enrolled in camps and people are expecting you to come to the family reunions and there's the couples trips and the girls trips and everybody is expecting you to be available for these things. And you know that you've got that 1, 2, or even 4 weeks of vacation coming up. However, tell people no and use that time to simply shut down. Unplug from social media, put your phone on do not disturb, and focus on getting the rest and relaxation that you need that does not require you to spend a whole lot of money, leave your house, or even put on real clothes. So that means if you've gotten your family out of the house for the day and you come home and you are wondering what to do with the quiet, order yourself something from DoorDash, Uber Eats, Grubhub, whoever you use. Binge watch your favorite show. Take a nap. Enjoy that snack that as soon as you try to eat it, somebody comes around and you really don't want them to know that it's there. Take that time specifically for you to do absolutely nothing. Resting during your summer vacation is not a bad thing. Because when you allow yourself to do it, you are refilling that empty cup. I see people on social media all the time that says, you know what, I've got a week off work, or I've got a 3-day weekend, or I've got a 4-day weekend, and I want to just binge watch some stuff. What are y'all watching? Be mindful of posts like that. And if it's something that you're interested in, go ahead and start it. And if you don't want to, you know, go out on all of these trips with people or go on all these outings, if you're comfortable with having people in your home, bring the party to you and make it easier. Ask everybody to bring something and have a family night in or a girls' night in. It is perfectly okay to unplug, to rest, to meditate, to only have people around when you want to. And of course, there's always the pamper day. Get everybody out of the house, or if there's nobody in your house, get up, shower, put on something decent, and then go get your hair done, go get your nails done, go get a massage, go get a facial, buy yourself a new outfit that you love. Come home just long enough to change into said outfit. And then make the day about you. Go places where you know you won't have to do anything. You won't have to lift a finger. It's perfectly okay to do life that way. It's okay to take time to yourself. I tell people all the time that my bookstore is my happy place. That's happened to be where I am now, talking to you guys. But I love to just come to my bookstore for the day. It's quiet. I control the air and heat. I have a TV here with cable. I have internet here. I have a kitchenette here. I keep food here. Sometimes I'm around my board games. I'm around the books that I've purchased from other authors that I can read. I even have an air mattress up here so that, you know, if I get tired and I want to take a nap, I can. So if I'm able to be up here for any length of time, I'm excited about it because it's my place of peace. It's one of my main places of peace. And I will come up here and DoorDash will bring me Chick-fil-A and I will just sit here and chill out. So I want you to include you in your summer plans. Whether you only get an hour to yourself, a day to yourself, make that time about you and what you want to do. And then let me know how it goes. Reach out to me through the Virtuous Businesswoman Motivational Broadcast Facebook page and let me know what you're planning to do. But guys, that is my time. But I dare not end my show without thanking two very special people. Kayla Pageant, my darling, I love you. I'm continuing to pray for you. Thank God for you and your team as you guys continue to keep going as you care for your mother. God bless you. And also to Nicole Gates, the woman who lovingly bullied me into this radio show in the first place. Thank you so much for all of your guidance, your wisdom, your verbal, your silent, and in-person support of me, my mission, and my message. I wish you well in everything that you have going on as you are on your summer vacation right now. Please stay safe wherever you are. And as always, guys, God bless, Godspeed in all that you do. Keep charging and make those summer plans. I'll see you next month.
Produced by Kayla Pageant on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
I know how you feel, fighting for another breath, searching for the strength to lift your legs another step. Wounded by the past, how long will it last? Buried by the heavy weight, it won't be long. Keep holding on, you won't have to wear those chains. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Whoa.
your side. Every prayer is heard. Your rescue's coming just in time. Lift up your eyes, look to the hills. You won't be overcome. It won't be long. Keep holding on, sure as the rising sun. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Whatever the struggle, whatever the pain, no matter the fear or the battle you face, help is on the way. Help is on the way. You have a warrior, defender, protector, and friend. You have a father who's for you, whose love never ends. His love never ends. I know how you feel, but it isn't over yet. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Whatever the struggle, whatever the pain, no matter the fear or the battle you face, help is on the way. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Help is on the way.
Thank you for listening to the Weight of the World radio show, hosted by Suzanne Mosley, author of the Southern Fried Keto Foodie Cookbook Series. The following program is not a source of medical advice. Suzanne Mosley and the coaches for the Southern Fried Keto Foodie are not medical doctors, dietitians, or nutritionists. Please consult your doctor regarding information discussed on the show or before beginning any type of weight loss program.
Today's show, I want to talk about wastefulness. Wastefulness can creep into different areas of your life, and your diet is no different. When it comes to creating a plan that is sustainable, you can't forget to be conscious of many aspects where wastefulness can come into play. Being mindful of how you can cut out waste can help you in your success as well as save you time and money. Today, I want to go over a few potential points where you can cut this problem out of your plan. Welcome again to the Weight of the World radio program on Lifted Authors Network. I'm your host, Suzanne Mosley, author of the Southern Fried Keto Foodie Cookbook Series and Ketogenic Lifestyle Coach. Within my broadcasts, my purpose is not only to guide you along your ketogenic path, but also help you navigate other factors that play into your success from everyday life. When coaching my clients, I like to take a big picture perspective. Your health is not only a result of what you eat, but also what you surround yourself with. Have you ever heard someone say that keto was just too expensive? Or maybe that it's just time consuming? Or even that keto is too hard to maintain long term? All of these explanations can be minimized when you evaluate the waste factor that seems to come into play in some of these circumstances. Let me give you some great tips for resolving these issues, as well as maybe perfecting your preparation game plan. First, let's start with money saving. That always tends to be the first one. Most people tend to think that keto has to be expensive, when it really doesn't. You don't have to go out and buy prime rib steaks and all of the expensive items. You can do keto on a budget. I have a client that I work with on a special basis who has been on keto for a few years and has been successful on the plan with just a smaller fixed income. Her grocery budget's typically around only $500 a month for her and her two dependents. Now, we all know that if not spent wisely, that $500 can go pretty quick in a grocery store. That really leaves her with $100 to $125 per week to feed her family. The first time we created her grocery list from her budget, she really didn't think she'd be able to pack her list with real food because she's always thought that she needed those empty calorie products to help her save money and stay within her budget. What she realized was that purchasing those empty calorie foods was really a very large waste of money.
crackers, cereal, bread, and snack bars were really only perpetuating the cycle of carb addiction and the increase in hunger that comes with it. The more you eat, the more you want, the more money you spend at the store. When eating on a ketogenic plan, you should be getting more satisfying foods and therefore actually eating less. Take, for example, the difference between 4 strips of bacon and 2 of those 100-calorie snack packs that people find so exciting and they think, wow, this is going to help me with my snacking options. With these snack packs, you're looking at having 200 calories, which almost always is not enough to satisfy you and leaves you searching for something else to snack on. You know I'm right because you've probably experienced this before. Typically, these snack packs are marketed as low fat to compensate for the sugar content and to keep those calories low. A typical price for a 100-calorie snack pack is roughly about 60 cents if you purchase them in a multi-pack. So for $1.20, you're getting 200 calories, 6 grams of fat, 2 grams of protein, and 16 carbohydrates. 20 minutes later, you're probably hovering around the pantry in search of something else, or making plans to eat lunch early because what you consumed was just not satisfying enough. Now let's compare 4 strips of bacon. With the cost of bacon being roughly about $3.50 per pack for around 16 slices, each slice of bacon costs around 22 cents. So just looking at the cost saving, you're only spending 88 cents versus $1.20 for the two items in comparison. Now let's look at the macros for bacon. For 4 slices of bacon, you're only consuming 172 calories. Your carbs are only between 0 and 0.4, depending on how the bacon's processed. So you're getting 12 grams of protein. Now, in comparing them, for 28 calories less than those diet snack packs, you're getting 6 times the muscle-nourishing protein, and the fat grams are just enough to create a meaningful impact on your hunger pains. Using this example can help get you in the mindset of not wasting your grocery budget on empty calories. And examples like this also make a great case for why keto can actually be more affordable as well. Now let's talk about something within the ketogenic diet itself. Wasting net carbs. You would not believe how many wasted carbs that you're accruing daily in your plan. The other day, my husband was making my 32-ounce tumbler of coffee for me as I was getting prepared for a client consultation. He asked if I wanted 2 or 3 tablespoons of heavy cream, and I responded with 2. He asked if I was sure that that was enough, that it didn't look like my usual serving size. Then I explained to him how I felt that I was wasting a half a carb on that tablespoon of heavy cream that I could consume later in my day when I tend to be a little bit more snackier. Half a carb doesn't seem like much, but it really does add up. Because you see, I average about 3 of those 32-ounce coffees a day. Yeah, I know, I love coffee. But that adds up to 1.5 net carbs wasted, meaning it didn't really add any flavor to be worth those carbs utilized. And I could use that 1.5 net carbs to enjoy 3 of his yummy homemade chocolate-dipped protein bites. If the additional cream doesn't really make my coffee any more flavorful, why is it beneficial to my plan? It's really not. I would argue that those protein bites would be where my carbs would be better spent. Yes, I may love my coffee, but chocolate is absolutely one of my must-haves, and I fit it in where I can in my plan. So here are just a few more ways that I've found to collect a few more carbs throughout the day. I already mentioned heavy cream. But let's talk about spices and seasonings. There are a lot of recipes out there that really, really coat on the spices and seasonings. And yes, they add flavor, but you really only need to season to taste rather than adding more than you need to achieve a flavor profile for the recipes. Treats for sweet cravings. I always create bite-sized versions of my recipes if I'm keeping them just for cravings and not for a special dinner dessert. Now, if we're having a birthday or we're having a family get-together, then yes, I'm going to keep that cake solid and in one piece until I serve it. But if I'm just making it to have something so that we have snacks to go for our sweet cravings, I'm going to put it into small individual kind of bite-sized portions, 1, 2, 3 bite portions, enough to curb my sweet tooth with half of a portion rather than a full portion. If you can curb your sweet tooth with half a portion of my keto cheesecake recipe for only 2.5 net carbs, then you really don't need to eat an entire 5 net carb portion to achieve your goal, which is dietary satisfaction. Not to mention, this could fall into a money-saving category, as your dessert creations will actually stretch a bit farther. Here's another one. Shred your own cheese. If you didn't know this already, pre-shredded cheese has trace carbs. You really need to be looking at your ingredients labels, everyone. Yes, pre-shredded cheese is so much more convenient than shredding your own, but if you eat a good bit of that cheese in your plan, you could be wasting anywhere from 1 to 2 net carbs or more per day. By taking just a bit of time and shredding from a block, you're completely removing those wasted carbs that you could utilize either in other parts of your day or just simply to minimize your total carb intake. Whey protein is a big one, especially for guys. If you're using whey protein, you need to listen up. Whey proteins are not made equal. Depending on brands and flavors, you could have a whey protein shake that has 3 carbs per scoop versus some other brands that have 0 or only 1 carb per serving. You now can reap the benefits of either using those carbs later in the day or just keeping your net carb counts even lower than you originally planned for. My husband has come across a very good tasting whey protein that is called IsoPure Zero Carb, and he uses that on a regular basis to help keep his protein levels up when he's on the run or doesn't have time to actually sit down to a full meal. Sometimes he uses it as an additional protein supplement instead of using for snacks. Now, I'm not an advocate for meal replacements with whey protein, but if you're just adding to help you get to your goal of protein, then absolutely you can use whey protein. Basically, just look everywhere in your plan to see where you can cut back or minimize your carb intake so that you can accommodate for utilizing that carb limit elsewhere in your plan. This gives you a little more flexibility to make sure that you can eat to satisfaction with a variety of foods and not just, you know, the same thing over and over again. Keeping up with your carb limits and using them frugally is kind of like budgeting your checking account. If you budget to spend $50 at the store and then use coupons or find sale items that reduce your grocery bill by even $5, that $5 makes a great addition to your savings account. This is the same with net carbs. You know you have a limit of 20 net carbs, but do your best to keep those carbs below that, and then you can save those for later or just come in on a minimal carb day. As a reminder, you want to prioritize protein as a goal. You want to meet that goal. Your net carbs are a limit. That limit does not have to be met, but don't go over it. And fat added for satisfaction and nourishment. You don't have to add in a whole bunch of fat grams. If you are full, then you are full. If you are hungry, then you can use that fat to help with satisfaction so that you're not snacking in other places or going over your carb limits or going too far above your protein goal. By looking at your plan as such, you are focusing your attention on the priorities of fueling your body and not just eating. Another way of being aware of waste is actual physical kitchen waste. Over the last year or so, I've been on a mission to reduce how much waste comes out of our kitchen. And yes, keto actually helps with that because we don't use a lot of prepackaged products. For example, instead of a large family-sized box of cereal going in the trash, there might be a bacon or a sausage wrapper. Eggshells might be something you would throw away as well, but in our house, we use those. So one plastic wrapper versus a large box equals less waste. Now just what do I do with our eggshells? Well, I grind them up into a fine powder, and then I use them for a variety of things, from our garden to our homemade dog food and more. Another way we produce less waste, as well as save a little money, we utilize as much as possible from our meat sources. Instead of just buying chicken breasts, we sometimes purchase whole chickens. For our family of three, we usually require 4 chicken breasts for dinner, 2 for my husband, and then 1 for me and 1 for our daughter. But we also use the thighs and legs for making homemade dog food for our furry family member. By purchasing 2 whole chickens, we get to use the chicken breasts we need, the dark meat pieces for our dog, and the bones to make bone broth. We also utilize the chicken skins that we peel off the bird. All you have to do is season them up however you want them, Cajun seasoning, whatever, and deep fry them in some bacon grease until they're crispy, and you have an amazing collagen source that, to me, blows pork rinds out of the water. These things are so yummy. And if you don't want to process whole chickens, or you yourself want to eat the darker meat portions, purchase bone-in, skin-on chicken thighs. Pull the skins and use them for making fried chicken skins. And you can also take the bones out and store them in a freezer bag until you get enough to make a rich pot of nourishing bone broth. With beef, if you're throwing the fat trimmings away, don't. Please don't. You can use those fat pieces for flavoring veggies just like you would adding fat back to your green beans. If you have furry friends, you can also add those pieces of fat to their homemade dog food as well, or give them bite-sized little pieces as treats. If you're cooking ground beef, be sure to drain all of the excess fats into a jar or bowl for use later. Just as you would use bacon grease, be sure to strain the small pieces of beef out with a strainer and store your beef tallow for cooking with later. These make great fat sources that season food with a rich flavor without adding additional seasonings like I referenced earlier. Some of my most popular recipes are simply seasoned with salt, pepper, and bacon grease. If you purchase bone-in beef roasts or other cuts, don't forget to trim the bones out before cooking, and you can save them for soup bones or beef bone broth. For those that don't know, beef bone broth is an amazing collagen supplement. If you're already purchasing the beef with the bones in it, it would be a waste not to use them for collagen, because collagen supplements can get pricey. And it adds a pretty hefty amount to your budget if you're sharing it with the whole family. Oh, on any given month where bones for bone broth have not been readily available to me, I spend about $20 to $23 per pound on collagen peptides, and it lasts me only about a month. Not so bad, except that when my husband shares, makes twice for that each month, and on occasion our daughter uses collagen as well. So as you can see, that cost adds up. Why not use the less processed source for essentially free, considering you're already purchasing bone-in beef cuts? Not to mention, in many situations, bone-in cuts can actually be cheaper than boneless. Look for your bone-in ribeyes. If you go out and buy a prime rib, get a bone-in prime rib. The taste is still amazing, and you have that huge rack to be able to use for bone broth. Another tip, if you do happen to make homemade dog food or dog treats, when you purchase a turkey, keep the giblets even if you don't eat them. Organ meat such as heart, lungs, and liver make great vitamin-rich snacks for your dogs. We dice ours into small pieces and dehydrate them into jerky snacks. I can't open our pup's snack container without her making a mad dash for me because she loves them so much. She slides across the floor, poor thing. We've got wood floors in our house, and she will slide and skid all the way around the corner. I think she drifts around into the kitchen. It's quite funny. But of course, you can also use those giblets for giblet gravy. And I have a giblet gravy recipe in the cookbook Deep Fried and Keto Fried, so you can check that out. When we do purchase chicken breasts in just the pack, we like to trim that leftover fat and also feed it to our dog. All of these waste-free suggestions for feeding your furry loved one has saved us a ton of money, as well as giving us a peace of mind that she's getting well-balanced whole food diet without the concern of the all-too-common dog food recalls. Y'all, those dog food recalls scare me. I have never been so excited to have to debone chicken and boil it off and cook everything together so that our dog has wholesome food. It is a labor of love, But every time I see a dog food recall, the first thing I think of is I am so happy that I make her dog food. I know where it came from. And it's also coming from the same meats that we are consuming. So it's good food. So now let's get to the veggies. Before I give you these tips, I must admit to you that all of my life, I have been Mrs. Brown Thumb. I am able to kill any vegetation. Y'all, I am so embarrassed to tell you this, but I have to warn you. I was so bad that I have killed a peace lily and an aloe plant. You're not supposed to be able to kill those. I successfully killed both of them within a month. Well, here recently, in my quest to have a minimal waste kitchen, I tried starting to grow veggies from kitchen scraps. And I'm kind of shocked to say I think I finally found my groove. I've been growing celery, onions, garlic, and cabbage so far. This is cut back on any of those items I would need to buy at the store. And I plan to add a little scrap garden soon. Next on my list to try is jalapenos, bell peppers, and maybe a few herbs in my kitchen window. Seriously, y'all, pray for me. Let's see if I can do this. Once I know I can garden successfully, garden beds will be my next endeavor. But right now, I've started off with only two planters and a couple of pots on my back porch. I'm excited to see just how low I can get our grocery bill every week from each new no-waste idea that we try. Hopefully today, I've given you a few tips that you can create your own minimal waste kitchen, as well as some money-saving ideas. Now, you can go through and evaluate even more ideas to help you reduce waste in your ketogenic plan. But lastly, I just want to add in one more waste product that we all need to be aware of. Don't waste your time. Yes, time. The time you waste trying this plan half-heartedly. If you lose 10 pounds on your plan, don't waste all of that effort by thinking a cheat day is a good idea. That is not a reward. That is a punishment, guys. Don't lose 10 pounds and then turn around and cheat and gain 3 or 4 of it back. Why would you want to negate your accomplishments? That time that you use cheating and negating what you've done and starting all over again is absolutely time wasted. One saying that stuck with me through this transition to a new life has been that the week, month, year, it's going to pass regardless of what I do. Will I spend that time improving my health? Or will I look back and say that I wasted that time because I could have already been 10, 20, 60 pounds down? I finally decided when I started this diet that I can no longer waste another moment of my life being a slave to carb addiction and food. And I know you've heard this over and over again, but honestly, anyone who has known me personally knows that I am telling the truth when I tell you this. If I can do this, so can you. I'm a foodie. I've always been a foodie. I grew up in a foodie household. I married a chef. We center our house around food. And if I can do this, I can lose 90 pounds and I can be healthier than I was in my late 20s to early 30s. If I can do this, you can too. And if you need my help, you can absolutely reach out to me. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. If you're interested in learning more about the ketogenic diet and how it can help you in your journey to better health, check out our page and join our free support group on Facebook. You can also find us on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter. Check out our cookbook series, The Southern Fried Keto Foodie, in paperback and Nook version through barnesandnoble.com, or you can find us in digital form as well on Amazon Kindle. If you are in need of a coach to help you create your own ketogenic plan, please feel free to contact us for more information on how we can assist you. Email us at author@southernfriedketofoodie.com to request an information packet regarding our services. Join us every month for more episodes of Way to the World. For showtimes, follow my Way to the World page or the Southern Fried Keto Foodie Facebook page. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of the day.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S.
or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.